Welcome to Cedar Creek, everybody. I'm so glad you're here. I'm excited to be here. I'm Matt. I'm a deacon here at the church, and I have been blessed with the opportunity to teach on compassion this week. Week three of our Acts series this summer, walking through the book of Acts, kind of chapter by chapter, event by event, person by person that's involved. And this week, we landed on chapters 3 and 4. We were mostly going to be in chapter 4, but in order to understand chapter 4, we need to read chapter 3. They coincide quite well together, and I'll be able to explain why those things are happening. Tonight, with compassion, we're going to look at three key questions that are going to help us understand compassion a little bit better. We're going to read what happens in Acts chapter 3, and then we're going to begin to dive deeper into what compassion really does look like. And I am really bad at cues, Luke. That means you can go to the next slide. So the three main questions we're going to talk about. The first question is, what does compassion in action look like? And what's important to differentiate here is we're going to be talking about biblical compassion and what that looks like. Because the world has a definition of compassion. And culturally speaking, wherever you are, whatever you believe, you can be a compassionate person, so to speak. You know, it's kind of like raising kids in a way where even the world, worldly, even atheist parents can raise a proper young adult. They can raise somebody who obeys the law. They could raise somebody who's well put together. They can raise somebody who understands, respects authority. But Christian parenting is designed to prepare your child for a relationship with the Lord. So there's difference. Just like there is with compassion. The world can see compassion in a certain way. But tonight we're going to talk about it in a biblical manner. What does it look like? And then we're going to take it one step further, and we're going to talk about what does being compassionate bring. So if you understand what biblical compassion is, and then you act on it, you have to be ready for the consequences that it brings. And consequences sounds negative, but it actually just means whatever the outcome is what you receive. What you put out is what you get. You reap what you sow. So we're going to be talking about like the positives and the negatives of acting compassionately, biblically, in this world, what that brings. And the third and final thing we're going to talk about is how, as Christians, do we find opportunities to be compassionate? Because Christ has told us to be compassionate. God has commanded us. He's leading us. The Spirit convicts us to act compassionately and appropriately. So then we're going to talk about how do we get those opportunities. So that's what I'm going to talk about tonight. I'm going to pray because I don't think a teaching's going to be great unless I pray. But here's what I want to do. I'm going to pray for my own sanity and for my teaching. But as I'm praying, I want you guys to do something a little different. I want you to talk to God. I want the Spirit to be in you. And I want you guys to pray for three things. One, I want you to pray that you hear something new tonight. As I'm talking, as I'm speaking, pray that you hear something that you didn't know before. And then I pray that you learn something that you didn't know before through whatever the Spirit's trying to teach you. And the third thing is I want you guys to feel something that you haven't felt before, something different, maybe something you haven't felt in a while. So pray for an open ear, an open mind, and an open heart. Hear something new, learn something new, feel something new is what I want to get at tonight. So I'll pray, and we'll jump into this. Lord, God, you are the master of the universe, and that term isn't light. You are creator over everyone and everything. You just hold everything in your hands, God. And just like tonight, you hold this service in your hand. Just like all the other Friday night services that are happening all over the world, God, you are right there holding them all in your hand. And I pray tonight you would just speak clearly and plainly to us, God. I pray that you would be just focused on the Spirit moving in everybody's heart, God. I pray that we would just be learning something new tonight, that we would draw closer to you because of it, and that we can learn about compassion, how to act compassion, how to be compassionate into this world, God. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. First thing we're going to do, we're going to go to the next slide, and we're going to look this up. What does compassion look like? So let's dive into some scripture here. We're going to be spending most of our time in Acts. So if you guys have a Bible, you can whip it out. We got a few on the black table. If you have a phone, you can download the Bible app. Cedar Creek has free Wi-Fi. And we're going to flip to Acts chapter 3. That's where we're going to pick it up. So I'll read the passage and then I'll explain a little further. Once I get there. All right. Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock prayer service. As they approached the temple, a man lame from birth, otherwise crippled, was being carried in. Each day he was put beside the temple gate, the one called the Beautiful Gate, so he could beg from the people going into the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for some money. Peter and John looked down at him intently, or looked at him intently. Intently is what the NLT uses. Purposeful, meaningful, almost as if there's a motivation inside of John and Peter. The lame man looked at them eagerly, expecting a gift. But Peter said, "I don't have any money for you, but I'll give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk." Then Peter took the lame man by the right hand and helped him up. And as he did, the man's feet and ankle bones were healed and strengthened. He jumped up, stood on his feet, and began to walk. Then, walking, leaping, and praising God, he went into the temple with them. All the people saw him walking and heard him praising God. When they realized he was the lame beggar they had seen so often at the Beautiful Gate, they were absolutely astounded. They all rushed to Solomon's colonnade, where he, the beggar, was holding tightly to Peter and John. Everyone stood there in awe of the wonderful thing that had happened. Okay, Peter and John, they heal a crippled man. Why? Well, I think it's because Peter and John looked at him and they had compassion on him. Pity, if you will. The Bible uses pity and compassion interchangeably throughout the translations. Basically, in ancient Greek, to be moved with compassion meant you felt a strong feeling in your bowels. And back then, that's where a lot of people believed that your compassion laid, was in your bowels. I don't know why, but that's what they believed. So when you read the scripture and it says move with compassion, it means to be moved deeply in the bowels. But they looked at this man with compassion, with pity, the same way that Jesus, the man that they had walked with, worshipped, and believed for 3 years, the same man that was God, they followed. They looked at him the same way Jesus looked at him. You look at the man in pity and compassion just like Jesus did. Right there. But what does that mean? What does that even mean? What does that look like? So tonight, we're going to take it another step further and flip with me to Matthew chapter 9. And we're going to look at an example here of how Jesus uses or sees us with his compassion. I didn't bookmark these. I really should have. Okay. Matthew chapter 9, starting at verse 35. Jesus traveled through all the cities and villages of that area, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And wherever he went, he healed people of every sort of disease and illness. He felt great pity. There's that word again. Other translations use compassion right there. He felt great compassion for the crowds that came because their problems were so great and they didn't know where to go for help. They were like sheep without a shepherd. He said to his disciples, "The harvest is so great, but the workers are so few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send out more workers for his fields." Okay, what's Jesus' view of compassion here? How does he see the people? He finds compassion and pity on them because he sees that they're without a shepherd. They're without a leader. They're without a God. They're without a God who can heal them. They're without a God who can take care of them, comfort them, forgive them, show compassion on them. They're out trying to make it on their own. And it breaks Jesus' heart to see that. The people that his Father have created in all of their mother's wombs, out in the world without a shepherd. And Jesus' heart breaks because of this. And so then that's what we're asked to do. That's what Peter and John were asked to do. They were asked to see people. They were asked to see the crippled, the lame, the poor, the downtrodden, the burdened, the way Jesus does. Jesus is asking us to see the world the way he does. Understanding that there's a lot of hardship in the world. There's a lot of broken hearts, broken dreams, broken souls. And Jesus looks at everybody with compassion because he says it's a flock that doesn't have a shepherd. That is an example of what biblical compassion is. That is a compassion that we should have. And what's awesome is that Jesus understands that there's a lot of people like that. The harvest is so great and the workers are so few. And so then Jesus sends out his workers. If you actually continue to read in the Gospel of Matthew, you'll see in chapter 10, following right after that, Jesus prepares his 12 apostles and then he sends them out to share the good news and the coming of the kingdom. Almost as if, directly following this passage that we just read, almost as if it was a direct reaction to what he had seen. But just like Jesus had commanded his apostles to go out, share the news, see the world with a compassionate heart, John and Peter, as they walk up to the temple gate, are starting to remember what Jesus taught them. They're starting to remember what the Spirit's telling them. And they look at this man and they say, Jesus' heart breaks for this guy, and so does mine. Let's heal him. And so, they perform a compassionate act. So let's keep reading, and let's find out what happens after they do it, what the repercussions are. So we'll flip back to Acts chapter 3, verse 13. And we're going to read through chapter 4 as well, but I'm going to break it up a little bit here. All right, so remember, they're in the temple. People are surrounding them. The crippled man's clinging tightly to Peter, probably because he's overwhelmed by all these people who are trying to look at him and like, how'd you walk and stuff. So Peter saw his opportunity and addressed the crowd. People of Israel, he said, what is so astounding about this? And why look at us as though we had made this man walk by our own power and godliness? For it is the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of our ancestors who has brought glory to his servant Jesus by doing this. This is the same Jesus whom you handed over and rejected before Pilate, despite Pilate's decision to release him. You rejected this holy, righteous one and instead demanded the release of a murderer. You killed the author of life, but God raised him to life, and we are witnesses of this fact. The name of Jesus has healed this man, and you know how lame he was before. Faith in Jesus' name has caused this healing before your very eyes. What happened? Okay, so John and Peter, they performed the act. They obeyed the Spirit. They saw pity and compassion on this man, and they healed him. What followed next? Peter saw his opportunity, and he took it, and he shared the gospel. You see how that works? If you're able to be compassionate, if you see the world with the same eyes that Jesus did, and then you're able to act compassionately, that can open up the door for people to receive, to hear the gospel. Maybe you won't be able to go into a full-fledged gospel presentation like the apostles, but maybe you can just tuck Jesus right in there. Well, thank you so much for doing that. Oh, not a problem. You know, I do it because I'm a Christian. I love Jesus. Can I talk to you more about that? Acting compassionately can turn people on. It presents an opportunity to share the gospel, to share your faith with Jesus. But let's keep reading because something interesting happens. So we're going to skip forward to chapter 4, verse 1. So John and Peter, they're sharing the gospel, they're preaching the news, talking about Jesus. And then, while Peter and John were speaking to the people, the leading priests, the captain of the temple guard, and some of the Sadducees came over to them. They were very disturbed that Peter and John were claiming on the authority of Jesus that there is a resurrection of the dead. They arrested them and, since it was already evening, jailed them until morning. But many of the people who heard their message believed it, so that the number of believers totaled about 5,000 men, not counting women and children. So your heart is moved with compassion. You act compassionately. You tell them why you're compassionate, and then we have a fork in the road. Some people saw the crippled man and believed. Others saw the crippled man and pushed back. But that's what we face. People may turn toward Jesus, or people may push back because you preach Jesus. But as Christians, we're not asked to sift through which hearts should hear the gospel and which ones aren't. Our job as Christians is to just present the facts, to present the story, to present the good news. Our job as Christians is to see the world with the compassionate eye that Jesus does, act accordingly by the Spirit, and then share the good news. That's what we're asked to do. And then God determines the rest. Some people will believe it, some people may not. That is their choice. So that's what being compassionate can bring. It brings you an opportunity. It brings you an opportunity, and then you can take that opportunity. You can share some of your faith. You can share the gospel. Wow, I really feel like I'm flying through this. That's okay. So then, the question is, how do we look for opportunities? How do we look for opportunities to share our faith? How do we look for opportunities to be compassionate? Well, let's keep moving forward here. We're going to jump to Acts chapter 4. I'll start in 16, give you guys some more context here. So these are the religious leaders. What should we do with these men? They asked each other. We can't deny they have done a miraculous sign, and everybody in Jerusalem knows about it, but perhaps we can stop them from spreading their propaganda. We'll warn them not to speak to anyone in Jesus' name again. So they called the apostles back in and told them never to speak or teach about Jesus. But Peter and John replied, "Do you think God wants us to obey you rather than him? We cannot stop telling about the wonderful things we have seen and heard." The council then threatened them further, but they finally let them go because they didn't know how to punish them without starting a riot. For everyone was praising God for this miraculous sign. But the next day, they were still praising the healing of a man who had been lame for more than 40 years. So now Peter and John are released. Now let's pick it up there. As soon as they were freed, Peter and John found the other believers and told them what the leading priests and elders had said. Then all the believers were united as they lifted their voices in prayer. O sovereign Lord, creator of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them, you spoke long ago by the Holy Spirit through your ancestor King David and your servants, saying, why did the nations rage? Why did the people waste their time with futile plans? The kings of the earth prepare for battle, and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against the Messiah. And that is what happened here in this city. For Herod Antipas, Pontius Pilate the governor, the Gentiles, and the people of Israel were all united against Jesus, your holy servant, whom you anointed. In fact, everything they did occurred according to your eternal will and plan. And now, O Lord, hear their threats and give your servants great boldness in their preaching. Send your healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After this prayer, the building where they were meeting shook, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they preached God's message with boldness. The apostles were asking for opportunities to share the faith. They were asking for opportunities to perform miraculous signs. They were asking for opportunities to heal people. They were asking for opportunities to show compassion. But they had to be bold about it. They had to be bold because they were facing some pushback. And I think as today, as Christians, we can still pray for that same boldness. We can pray for boldness to pray for the opportunities. Boldness to pray for opportunities. But then we can also pray for boldness to take advantage of the opportunities that are presented to us. And then we can just, oh, where am I going with that? Sorry, my head went in another thought, and I was like, stop, don't do that. So I'm going to stick to my teaching. That's what I'm going to do. So we're going to pray for boldness. And oftentimes, this means we're going to have to step out of our comfort zone. Regardless of how big it is or how small your bubble is, God has asked us, as Christians, to step out of it, probably more frequently than we think or are ready for. I can honestly testify that the most times I've seen God work, or the best times I've seen God work, the best times I've seen God heal people, perform miracles. I'm not talking about raising a dead person or casting out a demon, but just like the everyday miracles that I've seen. They typically happened when I was out of my comfort zone. They typically happened when I didn't feel super confident. They typically happened when I, honestly, when I had a little bit of fear in my heart. That's when I saw God work the most. And for me, compassion is something that I've really been working on, that God's really been working on with me the last 8 years of my life since I've gotten saved. I mean, growing up, I was a pretty angry guy. And if you guys met me when I was a freshman in college, you probably wouldn't have thought that because I did a pretty good job of masking it. But I was pretty angry. I was angry at just everyone and everything that I could be angry about. And then when I got saved, I started seeing how Jesus did this thing called being compassionate. And I started praying more about, well, how can I be compassionate like Jesus? And Jesus led me on this journey showing me that my perception and my perspective about the world was wrong. That I was just angry at everyone and everything, whether it was justifiable or not. Jesus said, don't be angry. Show some compassion. Change your perspective. But in order to do that, I had to step out of my comfort zone. I had to let Jesus grab my arm, pull me out of my bubble, and show me something greater than what my finite mind could comprehend. And that's what he can do with us. To take an opportunity, take a step of faith, a leap of faith, to find opportunities to show compassion. And we're going to have to be vulnerable. That's a big one. Jesus wants you to be vulnerable. How transparent are you with yourself? How transparent are you with Jesus? How transparent are you with God? Sure, God knows everything about us. He knows everything about you. Everything you've ever done, everything you think, everything you say, he knows. But how transparent are you that you maybe take the opportunity to confess it and say, you know what, God? I need to work on compassion. I need to see the world differently. I need to stop being so pessimistic, if I could use that word without offending anybody. How can I see the world the way you see it, with a broken heart rather than an angry mind? So if your perspective about how to see the world is similar to Jesus, where his heart breaks because he sees lost sheep without a shepherd, then when you act compassionately, you'll have a broken heart as you do it, which is good. And then that opportunity can present a gospel opportunity to share with somebody. And then they can take that and do what they will with it. But at the same time, we need to be praying for more opportunities to show compassion, to be the light of the world, be salt of the earth, if you will. Now, some of us are already pretty good with compassion, I would think. You guys are the forerunners, so good job, keep it up. But some of us need to follow your lead and probably just be more vulnerable with Christ. So I don't know if I went short or long, but let me finish with this. I got one more slide for you guys. If there's anything I hope you guys can take away from this, it's kind of what I've been convicted about with compassion, which is don't become angry with how broken the world is. The world has been the way it's been since Adam and Eve bit the fruit. That's just the way it's been. But let your heart break the way God's does. You know, see the world the way God sees it. Just lost people who probably don't know any better, who probably don't know what they're doing, and just need a shepherd, who need a God, a leader. And then we can see the world the way Jesus does and act appropriately according to the Spirit. That's what God's been working on with me with compassion, and that's just a little tidbit I want to share with you guys. So I'm going to pray, I'll end my teaching, and then I'll explain what we're going to do next. So, Lord, God above, you are awesome again. You are always awesome. Thank you, Lord, for compassion. Thank you for the Spirit. Thank you for just everything you do for us, God. You show us how to act compassionately, how to be compassion to the world. And above all, God, I just pray that we can see the world the way you see it. You made it. You created it to be in relationship with you. And it's fallen and broken, God. And I pray that we can see it in that same light and have pity and compassion like Jesus did. And maybe let our heart break. And maybe let ourselves cry, God, whatever the case may be. In Jesus' name, amen.